Sheridan.
At Sheridan Funeral Home, we are experienced and skilled professionals who will guide you through your time of loss, listen to your needs and wishes, and take care of every detail. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. We have deep roots in the Sheridan community. We take pride in being able to lighten the burden as you take the first steps toward healing following your loss. Your needs and wishes are what matter most. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremation's compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, July 22nd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Cat Lead Sue Johnson and Dog Lead Liz Landy. Good morning, and welcome back to the show, ladies.
Good morning.
So, I'll start over here with you, Sue. How is the summer at the shelter?
Well, we had quite a few adoptions this month for cats. We're, I think, 19 this month already.
Is that a
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. On average, what would you say you're adopting out per month if you were to give it an average?
5 to 10 if it's a good month.
Five to 10. Yeah. How many cats you got over there right now?
88. That's including kittens.
That's incredible. You usually have a pretty high number of cats over there.
We have in the past, yes. Yeah. Over 100 and something.
Now, when it comes to these cats, if you were to look at possible behavior problems, things like that. I mean, why are they there?
That's a good question. Well, some get surrendered because, say, they start urinating in the house. Mm. Could be because of jealousy, sickness, or whatever. But so when they come in, we got to try to figure out what the problem is and see if we can fix it.
Yeah. Cats are fickle.
Yes.
I mean, they've got small bit of an attitude problem, and I think comes with just being a cat. Now, there are both puppies and kittens at the shelter right now. We're going to talk about when they will be for adoption, because they do still have a little bit of time before you can run down and get those. Outside of the puppies, Liz, what kind of dogs do you have over there the most?
We've got a bunch of pity mixes over there right now. I know that we're not the only shelter that struggles with that kind of thing, but we've got a bunch of perfect pities, and a lot of the times just due to the breed, mm-hmm. naturally people kind of veer towards the other breeds.
But yeah.
Some of the pitties we have are arguably some of the best dogs we got up there. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I've had a friend who had exclusively pitties. And maybe it was just she was good with dogs anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she used to take these dogs that everybody was terrified of, and she just turned them into big lap dogs, you know, these big babies.
Yep.
And it would blow your mind that people would ever be afraid of them, to watch those tails mm-hmm. wag so hard that they're knocking coffee cups yep. off of tables. You know, it's pretty amazing. Pit bulls can be a fantastic pet. Mm-hmm. Now, you said a lot of these are kind of mixed. Where are they coming from?
Kind of all over. A lot of the times they just come in as strays, and no one comes to reclaim, and no one comes to identify. I mean, a lot of the times I've been for sure like, okay, this is definitely somebody's pet. It's yeah. taken care of. It behaviorally, it's got a lot of manners. It's trained. Someone's got to be looking for this dog, and they just don't have anyone calling about them, don't have anyone to come pick them up, and so we own at that point and try to readopt them out. So
now, one thing that I do want to cover, and I didn't bother writing any of this down. A lot of this is from memory, talking to AJ, Jill over the years. We don't put lost dogs, quote unquote, on Facebook.
Yes, that's correct.
And there's a reason for that. Can you explain why?
Yeah, so we were actually just talking about this a little bit last week as to why we don't, and if we could, and the kind of risks and positive outcomes that could come from that. It would be really simple. So if we do it for one dog, we do it for every dog. We're not going to discriminate on any kind of dogs in that way. And we do get a lot of purebred dogs and French bulldogs, corgis, you know, ones that are very high market value. That if we post that picture of them, it'd be a lot easier for someone to call and say, hey, you've got my dog. These are the distinguishing marks that that dog has. And it'd be a lot more difficult to truly identify whether that dog is said person's or not, especially if it's not microchipped. If you chip your pets, I will vouch for that 100%. We're able to identify who the owner is, call you if that dog comes in directly instead of you worrying for, you know, however long thinking where's my dog, we'll be able to give you a call directly. But if the dog's not chipped, it makes it a lot more difficult to identify who the true owner of that dog is. So,
and if you get a microchip, and let's say the dog trades hands, or your daughter or your son is like, you know what, I'm going to take the dog with me. Have that chip updated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just go onto the website or you give them a call and they'll do all the work for you. And you can just update that information, update phone number, address, current owner name. And it makes everything run a lot smoother if anything were to happen. Because we know the chips are more of like a preventative care, you know. So being on top of it and actually getting that taken care of is really important in the entire process in case anything happens. So
now I would imagine it's not just shelters, but maybe vets actually have this chip detector reader. And so if you take your dog to the vet and let's say you just don't know if it's chipped or not, take it to the vet, they'll give him her a scan. We'll be able to see if there's a chip in there. If there is, update the information. I imagine a brand name or something also shows up with that scan. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you know where you have to go.
Yeah. Each of the numbers kind of has like identifies with one brand or one company or another. And I know that we work and pull up information from nearly all of them, from several of them. So.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. So that's a way that we can actually make sure that if your dog is lost, ends up at the shelter, you can get it back right away.
Yeah.
And the shelter cannot put, you know, lost dogs or strays up online for a reason. They're trying to protect you and your animal, and they're trying to get you reunited with your animal. Now, Sue, can cats be chipped? Cats can be chipped,
yes,
right?
Yes, all of our cats are chipped.
Okay, fantastic. So before they even head out the door.
Mm-hmm, yep. We've sent quite a few home just because they were chipped.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so you can go get your cat chipped as well.
Yes.
And this isn't a big deal. It's probably not even that much to get done if you, let's say you got a puppy from a friend, but you want to make sure that they're safe. Okay, now I did promise we'd talk about some puppies and some kittens, because I know you ladies have got quite a few over there right now. How many puppies do we have?
Right now we've got technically 11, but we have 10, I think they're about 12-week-old puppies from two separate litters, so. Yep. Overloaded.
When it rains, it pours. Sue, how many kittens we got?
We have 29 right now.
My goodness.
We had, oh my gosh, it was over 30 at one time. And this is all like in a month and a half span.
My goodness. Okay, so when it comes to adopting out, I mean, there's time limits. They've got to meet, you were telling me before, some sort of weight requirement. What are we waiting on?
For first, they have to become ours. We have to wait 5 days before they become the shelter's. Then we have to weigh them. Kittens have to be at least a pound and a half before they can be spayed or neutered. So we have some that are still too small. Mm-hmm. So we just have to keep feeding them and fatten them up. Then they get spayed or neutered, microchipped, and then they're available.
And then they're free to go. Mm-hmm. Liz, what about pups? Kind of the same deal?
Yep. Pretty much the same deal. We got to wait the 5 business days. If they say they come in as strays. With surrenders, it's 3 business days. So the times kind of differ all depending on the situation. But once they're kind of at a happy, healthy weight and age, We're able to go in, get them spayed or neutered, get them microchipped. From the moment they come in the door, we get them started on the process for vaccinating, just because in a shelter, it's so high risk with all of the other dogs for those puppies to be exposed to something we don't want them exposed to. So from the moment they come in that door, we're up to date on the vaccines and just continuing to work with it that way. But yeah,
I had a dog. She got parvo. And I managed to get her through it, but she was never the same again. Yeah. I think the fever kind of cooked her brain a little bit. She kind of lost who she was, if you want the truth. And she just wasn't as responsive ever again. She wasn't as clever ever again, which was a real shame. I really did love that animal. And boy, we fought hard to get her through that parvo.
Yeah.
And technically, I don't think she ever truly got through it, you know. I broke my heart. But now, this is something that we were talking about before, because it is something that I have seen. Our adoption numbers increasing, and the reason why I bring that up, with the release of the new Superman movie, I read an article that featuring Crypto the Superdog within the movie has increased Google searches for dogs for adoption near me by 500%. It is amazing what one animal on a big screen can do. Have you seen anything about this? Has anyone walked in with a picture of Crypto and said, I want this dog?
No, I haven't seen or heard anything like that. It makes sense kind of looking back and thinking about it, though, because I know last month we had 3 dog adoptions. And within the first week and a half of this month, we had about 6 or 7.
Wow.
So within that first week of July, we doubled the amount of adoptions that we were able to push through compared to last month.
So it was going to the
month.
Movies, so, maybe,
yep.
huh?
Yep. You know, send an email and thank them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, Mr. Gunn, really appreciate it, buddy. Everybody loves Crypto, man. Sue, you know, I'm waiting for a movie that features a talking cat or a super cat in some way. Maybe we can get some cats out the door. But I think in every piece of media that I can remember, the cat is usually a villain or belongs to the villain. James Bond, cats and dogs. The cat's always a bad guy. I mean, that's really saying something, isn't it? But Sue, you also talked about challenges of older cats. You've been really kind of pushing to get older cats adopted, make sure that people realize, hey, they may be older, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we got an old cat at the house. The wife has had this cat. She bottle fed him when he was a kitten, and he's been with her pretty much her whole life, and he's getting a little rickety. But older cats are still an absolute pleasure to have around, and I can testify for that. How are things going with your older cat program?
We did get some out last time we talked about them. I think the problem with older cats is that they're set in their ways, just like humans. Yeah. You know, like if they don't like dogs, they're probably never going to like a dog or other cats. They're never going to like other animals, you know. That's probably the hardest part. Like a kitten, they grow up with a dog or something, or other cats are usually okay.
No big deal, right?
Right.
Yeah, but those cats that may have grown up in a house by themselves and now they've got to have friends, that's something else I can testify to. I had a cat. She was an amazing cat when she was alone. You introduce another cat into that house.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a pain. Dogs, she could care less. But another cat, oh, that's crossing some sort of line somewhere that I didn't even know was there. What are some of the needs that you see in the community when it comes to feline care? Do you see anything out there that you would like to address or anything like that?
Try to spay and neuter.
Yeah.
That's I mean, like I said, the garage sales that we have, the proceeds go to the spay and neuter program because it's so important. And this year has been the most kittens come in a month that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only been there 3 years, but a lot.
Yeah.
And they're just being found under houses, in sheds and barns and... Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. My father had a neighbor who tried to gather up as many of the stray cats in our, I guess you could call it a neighborhood. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, but around where we lived, and he ended up with like 50 or 60, and that barely put a dent in the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things, they breed. It's mm-hmm. what they do.
They can, a female cat can start having kittens at the age of 6 months.
Wow. That's really young.
And they can have still have another litter, even if they're nursing the first litter. Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So that's just
they're kind of like rabbits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Time to change the perception about cats. All right, on that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Join Weatherby for their third annual film festival Fall Kickoff Classic on August 1st. This year, they will be joined by Remy Warren from Live Wild, Casey Butler from Hush, and more conservation groups. Sit back and relax and get inspired by another lineup of exciting films. Weatherby will have incredible raffles, including chances to win Weatherby firearms and other merchandise. Pre-show starts at 4 p.m. at the YO Theater. Movies start at 7 p.m. sharp. Tickets are sold at yotheater.com. We'll see you August 1st.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
At Hando Service Center, we believe hard work, dedication, and heart deserve to be celebrated. That's why we're sending a big congratulations to all the 4-H and FFA members at this year's Sheridan County Fair. Way to go, kids! Your commitment to agriculture, animals, and community makes Sheridan proud. And you've earned a big applause, or a moo, or a whinny, or a meow. So, from everyone at Hando Service Center on Heartland Drive, thank you for keeping Sheridan's future strong.
Get tuned up this summer. Make sure your vehicle's running safely and smoothly with the auto experts at Midas. Make those car care dollars go farther with the summer repair specials at Midas. Save up to $100 on popular tire brands like Cooper, Goodyear, and BFG. Save $150 on shocks and struts. Brakes save $50. Starters and alternatives save $20 on that too. From bumper to bumper, Midas has you covered. One stop, total car care. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. With us this morning, Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Dog Lead, Liz Landy, and Cat Lead Sue Johnson. Now, Liz, the shelter has worked pretty hard to refine the dog adoption process. What are some key steps that you've implemented to help reduce returns and improve matches? Because, you know, when we talk about this stuff, there was a big change that happened. It wasn't technically under you, but a big change did take place. You and I have talked about that change. It seems to be working. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know, hey, you're not going to go back and kind of wander around the kennels, which I totally agree with. I understand the problems that that causes. Has there been anything else that you were able to implement or anything that you've been researching that could prevent returns? Because you see that a lot.
Yeah. One thing that we've implemented that seems to be working really, really good is doing several meet and greets with the dogs, doing at least two. I know that there are a lot of shelters where you can go in same day and decide this is the dog for me and bring him home that day. Getting a dog is, just along with a cat, is a very big decision. Mm-hmm. It's a life-changing decision for both you and for that animal and for any other member of your family on top of it. You know, it's something that we like people to sit down and really think about before they make that final decision. And our surrender rate has dropped significantly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The only kind of surrenders that I've really seen from dogs that we've adopted out is genuinely, I mean, the family trying to work with a behavioral issue, whether it's dog aggression or whether it's tearing the house up but they're really, you know, a good fit for the dog. The dog just isn't a good fit for them, unfortunately, which mm-hmm. happens, you know. Yeah. There's no judgment on anybody that happens to, because it does happen quite frequently.
And there are situations we can't sit here and guess.
Yeah.
You know, we have no idea what's going to happen until the dog actually gets into the home, maybe gets to know the cat or the kids or something, and then something arises later on. I understand that too.
Yeah, for sure. We try to assess the dogs the best that we can, but of course, I mean, with our resources and everything, we're limited on how much we can do. Mm-hmm. And a dog can act one way in a shelter and be completely different in a home, in a quieter, calmer, more peaceful environment. I know the shelter can be really stressful for all the animals involved there at some points in time, just due to the environment. You know, mm-hmm. there are so many dogs, so many cats, so many small mammals all kind of crammed together, it feels like, that all of their nerves and energies kind of flow into one another.
Right.
So, but yeah, doing several meet and greets has really helped with that. We really see... if the family is kind of willing to put forth the patience and the effort to wait, you know, wait a week for the application process to go in and then come back in and meet with the dog again, we're really able to kind of get a better feel for the individual and for the family on what their limits are and kind of how we think they would do. And a lot of times we've got someone say, oh, you know, I want this dog. I want to bring it home today. They put in an application. We try to call them when the application's approved. They don't answer, and they just never show up again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big red flag, as you know, you were so sure about this dog, but where are you now that you can get it? You know? So.
Well, and there you go.
Yep.
There's a vetting process to everything. Sue, I know cats very much like dogs. You get them out of the shelter, and I'm sure they're completely different. I saw my cat transform. Well, on two separate occasions. One where dogs that she was living with left, and all of a sudden she was an only animal. And she was a different cat. And then, of course, when the other cat moved in the house and she became a different cat. Mm-hmm. They're, as we were talking earlier, they're fickle.
They're a lot like humans. You know, they get lonely. Bring somebody else in that might be competition for affection from their humans. You get a little bit of jealousy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Now, when we look at fostering, because that is a program, that is something that you guys do as well. Is the fostering program going well, or do you need more individuals to kind of step up to the plate on that?
We need more fosters for sure. I know that we're not, I always bring this up, I know we're not the only shelter struggling with it. But finding a foster home for any of the very specific, like, behavioral dogs, and not necessarily even aggression, just shut down, you know. We need more fosters. The biggest key points are, you know, patience. Patience is probably going to be the biggest thing. I know we've got a couple dogs down at the shelter right now that I'm pushing to try to get out and have a foster home and learn how to be a dog. You know, we've had them for a couple of years now.
Wow.
And yeah, they've been with us for 2 years and still so shut down and scared in their kennel. The second they're out of their kennel in their run, they're a completely different dog. And, you know, it's taken several months to be able to earn their trust. But once you got it, it's the most fulfilling emotion that you can imagine. You know, this dog who doesn't trust anybody or anything trusts me.
Mm-hmm.
And that can just be such an overwhelming positive feeling. You know, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it now. You know, I'm getting the chills. But you know, we really, you know, fostering is really, really important for those dogs that just are not doing well in a shelter, but we know can have a positive future.
Yeah.
So.
And I think a lot of people wonder, you know, if I foster a dog, I'm going to end up with a foster fail.
Yep.
You know, and that's, I can speak from the platform on that one too. We've had foster fails where we're just going to have them for a couple weeks.
Yep.
that was 5 years ago, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And he's still at the house and a valued member of the family. But Sue, can people foster cats?
Absolutely. I have one in foster right now. He hates being contained in a kennel. Mm. And every time we'd open his kennel, he would jet out and we'd have to capture him. And he was shut down when he was in a kennel. And he's a friendly cat. He's very sweet. He's beautiful. But at his foster, he's starting to come out now. He's starting to mingle with the humans and trusting the people that have him. And I'm really grateful that they have him. Eventually, he will come back to us, but hopefully he won't be as shut down as he was if he has to go back into the shelter situation.
Yeah.
Or maybe, hopefully, they'll just adopt him.
Hopefully there's a foster fail.
But, yeah, if you can open your home to either a dog or a cat for a temporary situation, I think it would be fantastic if you did that, folks. It really helps out the shelter, and it really helps out the animals. Now, I had a whole bunch of questions here, but I want to get to your garage sale. Sue, you had a garage sale earlier this year. You got so many donated items. You're thinking, I'm going to have another one.
Yeah, yeah. It was really slow, the one we had earlier this year. I mean, they were going on all over town. We did raise over $800. I went to spay and neuter program. This time, it's going to be August 1st and August 2nd. I'm not sure what the times are going to be yet. But everything that I have left over is going to be up at the shelter. And those proceeds will go to the spay and neuter program as well. So come up, make us an offer. Anything that's reasonable, we'll take it. Anything we can do to help spay and neuter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fund that program. If someone had a garage full of stuff and they're like, you know what? I want to sell this to go towards that. How can they contribute? I know you got a lot of stuff right now. You probably don't
need I don't need any more stuff for donations.
Okay. So the next time you do, let's get together and we'll put out a call because I'll bet you get a lot of stuff up there.
Yes.
People help out with that.
Or if people want to just donate to the shelter and specifically earmark it for the spay and neuter program, we have had people do that as well.
Absolutely. You know, we can get control of this. We have the means to get it done. If people would just take them into the vet, get that spay or neuter done. I know everybody loves their animal and they want to make sure that the world loves them too. But it creates a bit of a problem. Sue, Liz, I want to thank you both so much for taking time out of your day to come over here and speak with us on the shelter. It is always a pleasure, ladies. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with At Ease Horsemanship. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who work so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Did you know your carpet acts like a giant air filter, collecting allergens, bacteria, and all sorts of other treasures? Let our experts at Captain Clean prolong the life of your carpet, protect your indoor air quality, and make your carpet proud to call itself carpet again. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, and schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky Sevens Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state, on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing. racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at Lucky7sWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Doug, my summer checklist is growing faster than my yard.
Let me guess. Oil change, new tires, maybe a good detail for your vehicle. Waring Chevrolet is full-service dealership. We can handle it all, Bob.
Tires first. Mine look like marshmallows.
Well, we got a price match guarantee on top brand tires.
For that oil change and tune-up,
our experts will have it running smooth.
And that dent, let's just say I'm at a picnic table.
Our collision center will fix it up, and our detailing shop will make it shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet, it's the only stop you need this summer. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
It's the final week of Moss Holder's Living Room Upholstery Sale. Save on all sofas, sectionals, accent chairs, and recliners. All special orders are on sale too, so you can customize your favorite sofa or recliner in the fabric or leather of your choice. Moss Holder's carries a wide variety of manufacturers, so we can accommodate almost any style and nearly any budget. Whether you're redoing an entire family room or just adding an accent chair, Moss Holder's can help. That's Moss Holder's Living Room Upholstery Sale, going on now. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I'm joined by the founder of At Ease Horsemanship, Matson II, and board chair, John Grote, and president of Big Horn Hapkido, and lead instructor, Tommy Bernard. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Now, At Ease Horsemanship, what is At Ease Horsemanship, and what is the mission?
Yeah, let me just start with a brief description of At Ease Horsemanship. We are a service organization. We're dedicated to serving U.S. military veterans, first responders, and trauma survivors dealing with PTSD. We were founded about 2 years ago, and we since have expanded quite a bit from our original focus just on horses, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But our mission, more or less, Floyd, is we are creating transformative experiences, okay, life-changing experiences for trauma survivors along the journey of acceptance, relationship, and recovery.
Now, what prompted the founding of this organization? What was it that you saw, you felt, that you said, you know what, I want to fill this?
Yeah, that's a good question and an interesting answer to that. I was actually, a lot of times we get asked, what is the difference between our organization and other equine rehab and therapy programs? Obviously here in Sheridan, we have a great one in CHAPS. So the first time people are looking to either get involved with us, support us, or come to us as a client, they want to know the difference. And as I often say, I very much respect the work at CHAPS. They're a great program. They've been around for 23 years. And in fact, when I came up with a concept for At Ease Horsemanship, I was one of the lead instructors at CHAPS. This was back in 2023. And when I came on board in late 2022, as a trauma survivor myself, one of the things that we were working on there was how can we get greater awareness and participation in some of the trauma programs for first responders and veterans that are a little bit more advanced than some of their other programs. They did a great job of raising funding for these types of programs, but we just weren't getting people to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on that for one winter and didn't make a whole heck of a lot of inroads with that And then two of my peers that were both veterans and had experience with Mustangs as well, we came up with this idea that was supported by Kristen Marcus, the executive director there, is to come up with a Mustang therapy program. So in essence, pairing trauma survivors with a wild horse. We're obviously not inventing the wheel with that, but that was very well received. We got a pilot initiated in the spring of 24. Two veteran combat veterans started the program with us, and we kind of got lift right there. And so I, at the time, was a part-time instructor and for various reasons decided to start the program as a separate nonprofit within CHAPS. And we just kind of went that way. And that's really how it started. So it started under the umbrella at CHAPS, and we've grown from there.
Mustangs.
Yes, sir.
My father's been working with Mustangs since the 90s.
I think I heard the story the other day with Christy. Oh,
yeah, he's hurting pretty bad right now, actually. Yeah. And the people who actually he got that horse to called him the other day and said, you got to come get this thing. It's unrideable. So he's still getting that horse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know Mustangs.
Right.
And they are a bit unpredictable.
Right.
They put that head down, and boy, they're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
What is it about Mustangs that is making a difference?
Great question. Well, you have to think about the client first and, you know, what we're trying to accomplish with the client, which is first and foremost, we're trying to build trust. And right after that, we're really trying to get into a relationship stance where the client can be in better relationship with themselves and consequently others around them. Okay, so the component, there's so many different ways we could go on the Mustang piece, but the truth is the mind of a trauma survivor and the mind of a wild horse are wired almost identically. And all we do is trauma-informed training. Okay, so we set up the environment, we work with the clients in all different directions from a trauma perspective, and we're specifically trained in that to understand the horse, to understand the client. So what you'll find with the Mustang, and there are many, many centers doing this, what you'll find is that there's this association and identification the second they come into contact with each other, which is going to be in a, you know, a round pen about three times the size of this room, so 50 to 60 feet, okay? Mm-hmm. And the way that you're looking at me right now is often the way that the client and the horse are going to exchange a glance as they recognize each other, and it's intense. So it's very, very different from your standard equine therapy horse. It's one of the reasons that we focus really on calling ourselves heightened horsemanship experiences, because the equine therapy connotation is completely different, and we want to be able to appeal to people that are looking for a really major challenge. They're looking to find out what's left inside of them mm-hmm. after the trauma, after the transition from wartime, et cetera. And the plight of the Mustang is well documented. We all know, most of us do, that there's 80,000 wild horses still roaming. There's 8,000 alone in our state, right? So there's a lot of correlations between the trauma survivor and the Mustang. And if the client just knows that little bit coming into us, being able to expand on that story is very personal to them. And being able to move with this horse, which is much more challenging, as you and your father know, than your standard cow horse, quarter horse, it's like the next level. And if you can develop the patience and the understanding and the awareness, it's much like martial arts. Mm-hmm. You have to have this incredible spatial awareness and patience, or game over. Walk right back out of the round pen. I have to do it every now and then. If you don't have it, the patience and the stamina, both physical and mental, you can't get anywhere with them.
That horse is going to let you know.
They'll let you know right away. And are they safe? They're as safe as any horse out there. They're as safe as the program that puts the client in front of them. Absolutely. And we're well trained. I have a long background in working with Mustangs.
How did you figure this out?
how did I figure it out? We're still doing it. I surround myself with
smart, good people.
Smart people. You know, I think that's why we don't call ourselves therapy, because we're not healing. We're not figuring it out. We're providing experiences. And I can't say, Floyd, this is the answer for you. You know, it's one of the reasons why we've expanded to these different disciplines like Hapkido, and, you know, even gardening. They're mm-hmm. disciplines that reach a person in a different way that is struggling with a disruptive force in their life. I haven't figured it out for myself. I can't figure it out for somebody else, but I can create an experience. This team can create an experience that the person enters the continuum at, whether it's painting or guitar or horsemanship. They enter our continuum through a certain gateway, and they work towards an understanding of recovery and relationship and awareness. I would say we get to participate, facilitate, but we don't get to figure it out.
Yeah. And maybe no one ever will.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Grote, what got you involved?
Well, last fall I ran into Mattson and a couple of other folks that were involved with the program, and when I heard about it, it really caught my interest. I'm a 35-year military veteran. I'd worked at the VA here in town for about 8 years, and I had just retired, and I was looking for something to fill my void and be still maintain that engagement with other servicemen. Once you get involved with that group, it's kind of hard to leave. So when Mattson and another gentleman approached me about it and said, you know, after it expressed interest, they said, well, we're interested in you. So, and we had a couple discussions. I kind of got involved initially thinking that I'd maybe go through the program, maybe be part of the board, something like that. And then shortly after that, I was the chairman of the board. And that's what I guess I was recruited for. But, and I'm happy to be in that position. I've been in a lot of leadership roles throughout my military career, even with the VA. And so I'm used to developing plans to make programs work better. And that's what I'm trying to do, working with Mattson and the rest of the team to make this thing happen into the future, make the program successful, get us some stability so that we, you know, when you start up a nonprofit, the biggest challenge is the nonprofit. There's no money. Raising the funds to try to get a program up and going is challenging. Obviously, when you're dealing with horses, 9 horses that we have on staff now, there's care and maintenance, feed, and everything else that has to be done, and so there's a lot to it. And so my passion is taking care of soldiers, has been for most of my life, and I just saw this as kind of another expansion of that.
And what a fantastic role to be able to kind of jump in there, know the administration part, understand kind of the road to get to an organization, 501c3, up and operating, where you can also walk away from it one day going, that's got a good foundation.
Exactly.
It's not going to fall down.
And I think, again, I'm also a trauma survivor myself. I've been diagnosed with PTSD, and I face some of the same challenges a lot of these veterans do. You know, and the challenge with, you know, although we have a great VA here in Sheridan, the challenge is getting the right people into the right programs to come to up to with the appropriate outcomes that they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, we have a number of veterans who won't go to the VA, and despite what they offer, despite the care may be free, they just don't want anything to deal with that. So having another organization that they can come to and kind of address some of their issues and concerns. I will tell you, I listened to a testimonial this morning from one of the clients that participated in our program a couple of weeks ago, and it was so moving to hear a hardened combat veteran come back and say, "No, this is the best thing that ever happened to me." Mm-hmm. And it was just the fact that, you know, he made a great point in his testimony that says typical therapy, there are no consequences. When you're dealing with at-ease horsemanship and that type of transformative experience, there are consequences.
It makes you think little bit more.
And that made all the difference in my mind. I'm like, that was really deep, but really true. I can go sit in a therapy session and talk to you about what my problems are, but I walk out the door, there's no consequence whether I listen to you or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're working with Mustang horses, there's definitely potential consequences. And I think that for this individual, it made all the difference. And it gave him a sense of self-respect that he was able to develop these skills to work with Mustangs, and gave him a lot of self-reflection on how to better monitor and manage his own emotions when he's in those situations. So,
And you, you know, above a lot of other individuals in the world, understand the weight that soldiers can carry, the responsibility,
definitely,
for equipment for fellow soldiers, and then all of a sudden one day, somebody signs a piece of paper, and that's all gone. And there's a space that will never be filled with anything again. But the minute you walk into a therapy session and there is no consequence or weight to it, I can see the draw here. Walking in there, being with that Mustang, now there's weight.
Oh, definitely.
Now there's consequences.
Yeah. Again, this individual, the testimony I listened to, was just really well spoken about that, and the meaning that the experience had to him was just transformative across the board. He walked away with a sense of self-respect and, you know, a lot of confidence that he developed in being able to monitor and manage his own emotions or in the worst situations, but then in life situations. And, you know, he says this has immediate applicability outside of the horse arena. It can be a very transformative program.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to move on. Sir, Tommy, I apologize. I switched sheets and lost names. But what I wanted to talk to you about is Aikido.
Opkido. It's spelled H-A-P-K-I-D-O.
When did you become involved with this program, and how does it relate to the work being done at Ease?
So I was approached by Mattson and one of his supporters about horsemanship and getting involved, because I'm familiar with horses and do some, you know, training for myself and so forth. And I looked at him and said, you know, martial arts has a lot of benefit here, and I'm a grandmaster. Why don't I bring martial arts to the table? And when they said, well, how does that relate to horsemanship? And I said, well, first of all, balance, structure, body structure, your mental attitude when you go to get around horses. If you take all that high energy with you, that's what you're going to get back. And if you go calm and relaxed, you're going to have a much better experience. So I like to get a hold of them for an hour before they do the horsemanship.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. And one of the things I teach is breathing exercises, mindful breathing, to calm everything down. So if I can teach you to stay calm while you're being attacked, then when you walk out of that dojang from training, everything else in life gets a little more easier to relax with, because it's not near as threatening as somebody attacking you. So there's just a lot of benefits. There's a stance in martial arts called the horse stance. It's just like riding a horse. And you teach somebody that structure and that stance, when they sit on a horse, they're going to sit better. So what I try to teach really for, you know, this trauma-sensitive training is that I'm going to try to help you balance your mind, body, and spirit. And the byproduct is you're going to learn some self-defense. So it's secondary. And I am finding such reward for myself to train with these individuals that have been traumatized. And I contend that we all get traumatized either by a powerful event in our lives or death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
You get a bill in the mail that's more than the balance in your bank account, and you're stressed. So if you can learn to relax and address the issues when you're in a violent situation, then it's a lot easier to go to the mailbox and go, I can figure this out.
You learn how to climb a mountain, a hill doesn't look so big.
Yes, exactly.
Now, there's also discipline attached to martial arts,
yes.
Something that soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines all understand right down to its core. And maybe once we leave our organization, you tend to lose a bit of that as well. maybe not internally, but certainly externally. The mm-hmm. world seems a little chaotic when, you know, I went from a military base, spending months on a base, to civilian life, and I just, there were too many colors, there were too many people running around, the people were wearing bright shirts, and you could suddenly see it all. It was all just so much. It was overwhelming. The discipline involved in martial arts, I think, would also be a huge draw. And so important to those troopers. I'm running out of time with you, and what I want primarily is, how can somebody get involved, and how can somebody contact you? Yep.
I want to just piggyback that real quick. What the collaboration of the two programs really emphasizes: rhythm, regulation, and routine. And that's what so many of our clients are looking for, is that routine and getting back into a rhythm that allows them to regulate throughout their life. And working with Tommy for the last year, it's just been so impressive and inspiring, how the combination of the two. And he saw that, and I give him a lot of credit for that. We're just really thrilled to be able to have the two programs working together. As far as clients, they can contact us through our, you know, through phone, or directly for our web, through our website, or, you know, at easehorsemanship.com.org, and social media. And we typically do a pretty extensive intake and in conversation with them, so that we can make sure that we're aligning with what they need, and understand their past. And then as far as supporting, we are always looking for volunteers. We definitely need financial support. All of our services are free to our clients, so any contributions are greatly, greatly appreciated.
I've run out of time with you, gentlemen, but I want to thank you so much for each of you taking time out of your busy schedules to come in here and speak with us. The work that you do is vital, and I appreciate all of you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
Thank you very much, Floyd.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
The 2025 Sod Farm Festival is just around the corner, August 16th. Enjoy an amazing lineup of local musical talent, including the Kraft Brothers, and our sensational food truck lineup. This year's Sod Farm Fest benefits Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Tickets available now, $25 online and $30 at the gate. Children 12 and under are free. For more details, visit sodfarmfest.org.
What is the latest and greatest, or even not so great? Hi, I'm Rich DeMuro with Rich on Tech. Be sure to listen this Saturday on
News Talk 930. Now on 103.